Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in, welcome back to the Hoosier Report. Glad to be here with you. Out last week to cover some of the local teams and state tournament play in Little League Baseball. We had some success with some of our local teams. We'll talk about that here in a few moments. But those games, a lot conflicted with the 11 o'clock hour, and so therefore couldn't do both at the same time. Glad to be back with you. A lot to get to. We missed a lot of things last week. The recruiting period continues, this busy month of July basketball, the final AAU shoe circuit tournaments for some IU prospects now in the books. Obviously, football media days last week for the Big Ten Conference has everybody thinking a lot more about the upcoming college football season and some local things to touch on as well. Let's get to it with the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines. As always, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at some recruiting things from last week or over the weekend. We'll also look at what's ahead for the rest of the month. And we'll talk about a couple of the IU prospects who played together for the last time, that in-state guys, Anthony Lille and Trey Galloway, who finished their career, their AAU travel career at least, out on the West Coast in California in a big way. And also we'll highlight a couple of our Little League local winners here in the first segment also. So we'll do that coming up here in just a few moments. Then later in the hour, as always on Mondays, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with me. He's the IU insider for the Star. We'll talk some IU basketball. We'll talk recruiting. We'll also talk some things that Coach Allen had to say about the football program at Big Ten Football Media Days last week. Later in the show, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he's with me. We'll talk some basketball topics and more today when Chad joins the program as well. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Recruiting absolutely heating up heating up for a moment and then beginning to wind down, it feels. A lot of the shoe circuits and the AAU tournaments that normally Division I college coaches could be at over the weekend, they still went on. There still was a lot of great teams and talent and a lot of IU prospects at some of the big events, but college coaches could not attend. There was a big one up in Indianapolis not far from where we were at with our Little League Baseball stuff. Still a lot of great teams there, a lot of prospects that you'd want to see, but again, no Division I coaches in the gym with this new recruiting calendar that the D1 guys have to follow. That said, there still were some players of interest that were in action. I mentioned that the Indiana Elite team, which included Anthony Lille and Trey Galloway, who have played together in the offseason in travel ball for a number of years. It was their final tournament as teammates on the Indiana Elite team. They played out in California in the Adidas Gold Gauntlet finale, and had success there. Lots of other talent on that team as well. Jeffersonville's Trey Coleman is on that team. Christian Lander of Evansville Rights plays up on that team. He was just recently offered by Michigan. And, of course, we know Trey Coleman has had a number of mid-major offers come in here over the last 30 days or so. But a really good group that found success in their final tournament. And some other notes, R.J. Davis, he's an out-of-state guy that IU has been following, looking back at his Peach Jam performance when coaches could be there. He averaged 21.4 points a game, 7.2 rebounds, just over 4 assists, and it's easy to see why the 2020 guard is high on IU's list. DJ Stewart, also another out-of-state guard in the 2020 class that IU's looking at. Looking back at some of the Peach Jam stats, he averaged 20.4 points per game, over 6 rebounds, over almost 4.5 assists a game for his team. So a lot of guys there, both in and out of state, to follow. And again, coaches could see him back at the Peach Jam a few weeks ago. They could not at the tournaments this week. Coming up this week is the start of something brand new, NCAA Academy Camps, which are 4 regional locations across the country that are going to be staffed by high school coaches, Division III, Division II coaches. I know they've even asked managers and some college players to work. We have some local guys, Isaac Hibbert of New Albany, former player for the Bulldogs on the state championship team, plays at Hanover. He was asked to come work the Illinois regional camp for the NCAA Academy coming up later this week. And so the question is, how many of the really good players, the high major players, are going to attend? There was kind of a nomination process, an invite process, and from what it sounds like from guys that have been on the road following stuff so far this month, some of the big-time players and the high-major guys are just not going to attend. It's a camp setting. A lot of people are opposed to camp ball, where you kind of randomly get put on a team and you go through the camp with that team and play your games with that team. It's not always conducive to great basketball, even if you've got some really good players on the teams. It's just, you know, you're not used to playing with each other. So that's been a big complaint. It's going to be interesting to see as we find out for sure, specifically at the Illinois camp. That's where anybody from Indiana would go to. Who is there? And I'm sure that IU coaches are going to be somewhere, maybe multiple locations across the country watching these NCAA academies. But I don't get the feel from college coaches I've heard from and what other people are saying as far as how players, what players are going, accepting the invitations, and what players are not going, that think, I don't know if that's something I want to do. I don't know that this is going to turn out to be a success in the way that the NCAA had hoped. So this is going to be interesting to see. For IU, for example, I mean, a lot of players in-state that are high major type players, IU is after, obviously, but there also is a number of out-of-state guys as well. So we'll see coming up very soon if those guys are at these events, these academies across the country, or if they choose not to do it. I mean, there will be some, obviously, that will, which is why the coaches, the IU coaches, will still be there. But it's going to be interesting in different times, recruiting-wise, no question about it. Also, a note to pass along on Silver Creek Little League Baseball. Really good stuff over the weekend at Greenwood, and we had some outstanding numbers for our broadcast of those games. Thanks to everybody that was with us and all the sponsors that helped make our coverage from the Little League State Tournament possible. But Silver Creek bounced into the championship game on Saturday afternoon, a rematch with Brownsburg. They had lost to Brownsburg 2-0, a walk-off home run earlier in the week in the bottom of the sixth inning, the last inning of regulation. That was the only loss, Silver Creek loss of the week. In the championship game, in the rematch, Silver Creek got off to a great start early. They scored 3 runs in the first inning. They went on to win 6-0 to not only win the state championship but avenge their only loss of the state tournament against a very solid Brownsburg team. Spencer Durham pitched the win in that game. He went the full distance for Silver Creek. Silver Creek got to the championship earlier in the day with a 2-1 narrow win over a very good Forest Park Little League team. Preston Burton got the win in that game. It was just a nip and tuck back and forth game all the way down to the final batter, but a big win for Silver Creek as they now go on to represent not just District 5 in Southern Indiana and, of course, Silver Creek Little League, but they go on to represent the entire state of Indiana as they go to the Great Lakes Regional Tournament, which begins August 4th in Westfield, Indiana at Grand Park. And, of course, that's on ESPN. It's streaming. The later games in that tournament round are available even on ESPN 1 or 2. So big stuff for Silver Creek. They've got a really unique experience coming up to represent this area. And if they thought the state tournament was really cool to be in and win, the regional tournament. It is just, the field is pristine. The environment is awesome. The way it is ran is very nice. And, of course, being on television and all the storylines and the things that come along with that will make it quite an experience for Silver Creek. So I know a lot of Southern Indiana fans get into the Little League stuff this time of year. High school sports are non-existent right now as school, although it's getting ready to start some places later this week. We'll all follow Silver Creek now as they play early next month, so a couple weeks from now, in the regional tournament, I should say, the Great Lakes Regional in Indianapolis. Big stuff for them. Also, a shout-out to New Albany. Their 11-year-old team won the 8-team 11-year-old state tournament in Little League Baseball. It's kind of a good primer for next year. New Albany, that group won it last year as 10s, and the majority of that group back to win it as 11-year-olds, and they obviously will be a favorite not only for the District 5 next summer, but even at the state tournament level as well. And that 12-year-old division, like Silver Creek is experiencing right now, it's the main deal. That's the one you want to win. You obviously all have the goal of getting to the Williamsport Little League World Series. What a neat deal that would be to see another local team make it, and Silver Creek with an opportunity to do so next year. But also congratulations to New Albany on their state championship at the 11-year-old division as well. That's a look at the headlines, the Hoosier headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Glad to be back with you after no show Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday last week, but we're back with you every day this week at 11 o'clock, and of course the replay here at 3 o'clock on the Big X Sports Radio. And don't forget, plenty of ways to listen, BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app, all sorts of ways you can catch our program and really any of our program here on the Big X. Also, don't forget podcasting. I know a lot of you said, hey, where have the podcasts been the last couple of days? Well, we didn't have a show, so there was no podcast. But you can find our podcast every afternoon on SoundCloud, also on Apple Podcasts as well. If you want to get it on SoundCloud, download the free app, or just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. If you want to locate us on Apple Podcasts, pull out your phone, open up the Apple Podcast app, search for The Hoosier Report. You can find every show there each afternoon. And if you would, leave us a rating and a review so others that might be interested in a daily show and podcast about IU basketball and sports and things here in Southern Indiana can locate us a little easier. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk IU basketball and recruiting, obviously. We'll also talk some IU football headlines coming out of Big Ten Media Days last week. We'll do that with Zach next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Stars IU insider, with us Mondays to talk IU and more. I want to get to basketball, recruiting, and some football coming out of Big Ten Media Days last week with you today, Zach, in this segment. IU basketball right now, I know we've talked some about this, and Kyle Neddenrip and I have done so almost every Friday when he joins me in the recent weeks, but it is such a different time for me. The AAU action, the shoe action, it continued over the weekend. A lot of the big prominent teams, the shoe sponsored teams, and a number of IU prospects, it appears, have wrapped up really their travel season, their exposure season, whatever you want to call it, for this summer of 2019. But it takes some getting used to. There are just changes with coaches not there. The NCAA academies begin this week, and there's a lot of unknown about what type of prospects will accept the invites, who's definitely going, who's not going. And, of course, we all want to know where the IU coaches will be, and will there be IU prospects, you know, a high major level? Will those guys go to these NCAA academies? It's a much different July, I guess, is what I'm getting at, than what any of us who have ever been around it, covered it, been a part of it in any way have ever experienced.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about it, and what's weird is kind of to think that July sort of continues on beyond AAU, because AAU is always, number one, you know, there was a time when AAU basically ran to the end of July. I can remember being in a packed Spieth Fieldhouse gym with a whole bunch of, you know, coaches and players who'd been in Orlando and Vegas and South Carolina. It was the last weekend in July, and some guys weren't playing because they were so worn down, and the AC wasn't working, so it was steaming hot in there. And I think we were all just sort of collectively thinking, like, oh, my gosh, like, it's just when exactly is this going to end? But what to my mind is kind of strange is just to think about the fact that it does go on beyond AAU, that there's now something on the other side of AAU. And I know we've talked about kind of the idea that it's after July when everybody starts to kind of move and everybody starts to really think about things. Well, I'm kind of curious to see how many people wait for the end of these academies. You know, I mean, do you start seeing some guys here in the next week or two either A, announce commitments, or B, at very least announce, you know, this is my final four, my final five, you know, I'm going to start setting up some visits, that kind of thing. Basically, do the academies get a spot in the calendar for everything that you know, we used to kind of give those spots to AAU for, in terms of everybody saying, okay, well, I'm going to wait until after all of this is over to really start thinking about my recruitment. Or do you see, particularly a lot of high major guys, just say, well, I'm not going to that. That's not on my calendar, so I'm just going to start thinking about this next thing. I'm just kind of curious to see what it looks like.
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star joining us. As far as recruiting and recruiting targets go, I think in the 3+ years that I've had this show, and of course I've been around basketball and recruiting a lot longer than that, but it seems like every summer, even from an IU perspective, there is talk about as guys that are going to be seniors get closer to starting their senior year, and of course their senior season is still a few months away, but there's always talk about, oh, maybe these two guys want to play college basketball together. Maybe Romeo wants to play with this guy. Maybe it's going to be a package deal. And there's been some chatter, and I think it's even been written about, that Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, who seem to be really big buddies, and there were some pictures of them on social media after they played their final game with Indiana Elite for the summer, really for their career out in California over the weekend, that maybe those guys want to play together. I guess it wouldn't be a big surprise when you get to know somebody and travel with somebody and play in that many games together. You sure get a feel for how you play off of each other, how you can help each other, what each other's strengths and weaknesses are on the court, and, of course, personally, you develop a friendship with that person as well. So would you be surprised if Leal and Galloway, whether it was Indiana or somewhere else, did become a package deal?
I mean, no, in one respect, and it's funny. I mean, I'm hardly the only one that's talked to them about this sort of thing, but I asked them both about it when I talked to them in Hoover, when I talked to them down at Gauntlet with the Gauntlet Championship. When was that? I guess it was last weekend. I've kind of had the travel.
I hear you.
Fortnight from hell here recently, but for both personal and professional commitments. But anyway. I talked to both those guys, and I even kind of framed my questions as, hey, I'm not trying to suggest this is a package deal, because, you know, you don't want kids to feel like you're boxing them in. You don't want them to feel like you're trying to, you know, just get them to say something quote worthy, so you can throw it up on a headline, whether it's totally accurate or not. And so I just sort of said, you know, I know you guys are both good friends. And I asked them separate of one another, but I said, I know you guys are good friends. You've played together for a long time. You have a couple of the same offers. Obviously, your recruitment is, they both talked about their recruitments as something they'd probably like to have wrapped up before the start of their senior seasons. And they're both, of course, they're in-state guys and all that different stuff. And I just said, you know, I'm not suggesting you guys are like a package deal in sort of the firmest sense of the term. But is it something that you've thought about playing together in college? And they both sort of said, well, you know, we could be. I mean, I wouldn't call it like a package deal in the sense of, like, you know, Jahlil Okafor and Tyus Jones, I think, basically kind of made it known, like, we're going to go to school together. And wherever we go, we're going to make that decision to go there together. I don't think it's necessarily like that, but it's I think it's fair to say it's something that they have discussed, and not just casually like, oh, that would be cool, but genuinely, what if we did this? You know, and what if this was kind of the step we took together? And if you do start to kind of do the Venn diagram of offers they share, there's a few in there. Indiana's one. Ohio State offered them after offered them both after the open period. That's another. I don't think that they are necessarily going to be sitting down and making, you know, their decision together at the same time. And it's like they're not going to be sitting there on the phone or at the same table or whatever saying, all right, we're both going to this school, let's go. But I do think it would be fair to say or to presume that the potential is high for the decision of one to have an impact on the decision of the other, especially when you consider that it seems like they are kind of priority players for a couple of different schools, Indiana prominently among them.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Christian Lander has added a number of scholarship offers pretty consistently over the last, I don't know, even going back to the high school season, it seems. I noticed Michigan, an offer for him last week. He really has added a number of Big Ten offers here and has a lot of high major schools very interested in him. He continues to be somebody that stock has been consistently on the rise through the high school season into the spring and summer travel ball. And, of course, now as that's wrapping up, really I believe his stock is as high as ever. And if you're a player, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems that way. He's a guy who, again, it's another one where it feels like there's going to be a strong link to Indiana for a long time, and it seems like that's something he's perfectly comfortable with, in the sense that he's comfortable with the staff. You know, he's in he's got a good relationship with Tom Ostrom, with Archie Miller, and so on and so forth. I don't think it's necessarily one in talking to him last weekend, I really didn't get the sense that he was that close to a decision of any kind. You know, I don't think that he's just at that stage in his recruitment. I think you're right that he is. He's still adding a lot of offers. He's still a guy who's, you know, putting together just kind of, I guess you maybe would say, the profile of his own recruitment. So he's just not thinking as much about how do I get, you know, is it time to narrow down my list or whatever. And this is also probably a good time to point out that more than ever before, kids can really expand their recruitment in their junior year without having to narrow it down to different schools. You can take junior year official visits. You can take official visits as a junior that you can then repeat if you want to as a senior, and so on and so on and so on. So I think from Lander's perspective, you're going to see him as one of the most pursued players in the Midwest, if not the country, in his class. I expect Indiana to kind of be, you know, pretty significantly involved there. I don't think that anything is necessarily, you know, decided or anything is at all narrowed down with him. But I think Indiana is going to kind of be there for the long haul at this point.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who's with us Mondays as we talk all things IU basketball and more. I do want to transition to some football talk because, or actually before I do that, I want to bring up one more basketball subject. Sorry. A lot of professional guys, pro IU guys, Romeo Langford, probably the headliner there on campus last week, working out with Cliff and doing some other things, I'm sure, to get ready for their next seasons, regardless where that may be or what level that may be. But interesting to see that many guys back at the same time. I know it's kind of the middle of the summer. The summer leagues are over with, so if it's going to happen, it would be that week probably. But neat to see that many guys back at the same time. And I think a lot of people really glad to see Romeo Langford back there already, even though he's just leaving the program to get some off-season work in. It gives you a good feel, I think, for where IU, some of the former players, even under previous coaches like Tom Crean, and where even the more recent guys like Romeo Langford, where they stand with this IU program and their willingness to help out with a recruit, or their willingness to come back and work out and take advantage of IU's first-class facilities. It's just a good look for the program all the way around.
No, I think you're right, and you do see it. You see it at a couple different times a year. You see guys kind of come in near the end of the NBA season, you know, looking to just kind of get some work in on their own, kind of right after the season's over. Obviously, the guys that aren't in the playoffs. You see guys stay engaged with, you know, doing camps and things. I mean, it's been noticeable to see Indiana kind of promoting some of Victor Oladipo's camps and that sort of thing, so that relationship remains strong. And you do see guys, you know, I think Eric Gordon's another one that's come in, you know, around this time of year in the past and just been sort of looking for a way to start, you know, gearing back up because the NBA season always feels so short. But just start kind of gearing back up for, obviously we're still a couple months away from your training camps, your preseasons, all those sorts of things. But get yourself back in that frame of mind, get yourself back athletically. And, you know, you go back to your college, you know, from an Indiana player's perspective, you get to work with a guy like Cliff Marshall, who everybody's got a great strength coach and that sort of thing, but it gives you a resource and you've got a built-in facility both for on-court work and weight work that maybe you wouldn't have if you were just kind of, you might have to like pay a little more or go somewhere, you know, travel to another city or something to work with a specific trainer. You come back to school, you've got all that apparatus there. You've got Indiana happy to sort of welcome you back. I think it's good for Indiana, but I think it also just makes a lot of sense for the players.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Zach, let's get to IU football now. IU football media days, or Big Ten football media days, excuse me, last week. And anytime that event happens right after it, you got all kind of headlines and so-and-so said this, and here are some thoughts on the season, and it really just spurs a lot for the upcoming college football season, as it should. So I was out last week from Wednesday to Friday. I tried to follow your coverage and others from a distance, but maybe your thoughts from a somewhat IU perspective, or maybe just a Big Ten perspective, two, three of the big headlines, the big takeaways you had from the football media days for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not a lot from Indiana's perspective changed, I don't think. I think you're still talking about a team that needs, and at least to an extent believes it has, greater quality in its depth, which I think is something we've talked about just at length with Indiana in terms of saying, you know, it's what Indiana needs to flatten a little bit more of this competitive curve. I don't think anybody can doubt that Indiana is a more competitive program than it was, you know, at that highest level, at that, you know, with the Michigans and the Michigan States and the Ohio States and so forth. But it also seems like what consistently holds Indiana back is the inability to be able to close out games. And I think a lot of that comes down to just basically running out of steam because your best guys are playing so many more snaps than their best guys, because to match their best guys, you've got to keep your best guys on the field longer. And there really is a confidence from Tom Allen and his staff that they've got more of that depth. It's still young depth, but it's young guys who've played a fair amount. So it's you know, kind of, I don't know, this is probably not the best way to put it, but maybe like depth plus, if you want to say it, or youth plus is probably a better way to put it. But Indiana's still just searching for the right calculus in a year where the schedule lines up tough against them again. More questions about quarterbacks. More questions, you know, how tough is it going to be for Peyton Ramsey to hold on to that starting spot with Jack Tuttle and Mike Penix around him? And I think still just, you know, the conference probably kind of feels the same way about Indiana. That, listen, they're no pushover. You're going to have an awful hard time really putting a heavy score on Indiana. But you also just kind of need to see it to believe it, that Indiana is going to find a way to break through and win a couple of those games we've seen them consistently losing. And I'm not saying they can't, not saying they won't, but that this roster is still progressing back to a place where I think it can reasonably expect to break that glass ceiling a little bit. And from a Big Ten-wide perspective, I think it's just a lot of questions, a lot of unknowns. You know, Michigan seems to be the front runner at this point. I think that's absolutely fair. Michigan State's got a lot of experience coming back, but you don't know quite what to make of it after a pretty, you know, average season by Mark D'Antonio's standards. Ohio State's got a first-year starting quarterback, a first-year head coach, you know, transitioning to life after Urban Meyer. What to make of the West? I mean, you could convince me of basically anybody but Illinois winning the Big Ten West. And then you've got a Penn State program that on the defensive side of the ball is going to be as good as anybody in the league. on the offensive side of the ball after a really big, sort of exodus of talent in the last couple of years, just because you had so much there. Questions about basically where the Nittany Lions go there. It's a conference that just feels a little bit more up for grabs, I guess, than it has in the recent past.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Obviously, a bowl game, a bowl appearance, a berth is the big deal for this IU football program with its current standing. And I guess your early look at that, I mean, that's kind of how people judge the program and maybe those that follow the program from afar and watch some games but aren't the diehard fans. A bowl berth or not is how a successful season is judged. So where do you see Indiana at this very early point when you think ahead about how many wins it would take to get eligible for a bowl and get to a bowl at the conclusion of regular season play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is going to be tough. And it's as much down to the schedule and just the way that the schedule lays out as anything else. Indiana's in another year where they've only got the four Big Ten home games. And so you're figuring out how to kind of get to six without the advantage of having the five home games to deal with. You get Ohio State and Michigan at home in a year where it'd probably be more advantageous to get Penn State and Michigan State at home. It feels like that happens to Indiana a lot. Your crossovers are tough. You got to go to Nebraska. You got to go to Purdue. You're playing a Northwestern team that probably take a little bit of a step back after last season, but still won the Big Ten West last year and is very consistent. And then you also got to go to Maryland. This is a year where you host Rutgers and you got to go to Maryland. I think Indiana's got to win all of its non-conference games, Ball State, Indianapolis, Eastern Illinois, and then UConn, both at home. You know, beating Rutgers on homecoming is a must. Then how do you find those other two wins? I think that there's a very reasonable case for Indiana being a significantly better team this year than last year, but there's an equally reasonable case that Indiana's road to a bowl game is more difficult, significantly more difficult probably, than it was a season ago. And if that's the case, it's just, this is the, this is what you face if you're Indiana. It feels like every year is just this kind of fight to be fight to be more than just a program, I guess the best way to put it. It's fight to be more than just a program that's constantly trying to add to six. A program that can look at a schedule and say, well, we can count on this, and we can count on this, and we can count on this, and we'll make all of this work. And so we can at least get to six most years. We can at least get to seven most years. Building more of that floor underneath you, effectively, I think is what Indiana is still kind of striving to do and frankly, struggling to do. I think that there's a lot of reason to believe that it's kind of things are improving, things are coming along. But Indiana's clearly not there yet. I don't think anybody denies that. And I think this is going to be another year where Indiana's just going to be right there on the cut line in terms of being, can they get to six wins or seven wins, or are they maybe going to be stuck right there in that sort of five-win, just sort of void where it seems like on the one hand it's you're allowed to feel like that's promising, but on the other hand you sort of look at it and say, well, geez, when are we going to finally crack the code and break this ceiling and get this thing done?
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Hard to believe, Zach, that basically in a week and a couple days from now, we will be 1 month away from August 31st, Saturday at noon kickoff, Ball State, Indiana, in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. Just crazy to think that we've moved that far through the summer, but it's almost here, and we'll have a lot more football talk, I know, as we approach that August 31st date. Kyle, I don't know why I've had Kyle Neddenrip on the brain. He was with us this past week at the Little League State Tournament. And so any my apologies. Zach, always good to catch up with you. And thanks as always for your insight. We will do this again next Monday as always, and I hope things slow down. I know you've been on the road a lot. Look forward to catching up to you again soon.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. As always, Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us to start things off on Monday. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board Member Chad Gilbert is with us on the program. One other IU note, too, as we transition out of this segment, at the Little League tournament that Kyle Neddenrip was at, in fact, he joined me on the radio a couple times, we had Jeff Mercer. He was there, arranged by the Little League people to throw out the first pitch at the start of the state tournament. He actually played his Little League ball at Franklin Little League in Franklin community just south of Indianapolis, and was great. The kids got a chance to say hello to him, and he made his way around to both of the fields that were being used. So a great PR opportunity for IU baseball and Coach Mercer coming out of a really good first year. And he was having a lot of fun. It was Wednesday, the opening day. Seems like forever ago, but he was there on Wednesday, the opening day last week, and was really a good representative of IU. He clearly enjoyed his time there and spent probably more time than what he really needed to. He was just great with the kids, and you could see that he really had a passion to be there. So that was good stuff, and he had a good IU tie to the Little League State Tournament last week there that was played in Greenwood for the 12-year-old team. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. We're going to talk some basketball stuff. There should be no surprise there, and we'll do that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. He is always with me Mondays as we talk local sports in Southern Indiana. And Chad, the most local thing, excitement right now for Silver Creek Little League. They win the 12-year-old state tournament. That's the big one where you can go on to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So now they'll be Indiana as they compete in the Great Lakes Regional, which begins in August. Another successful summer so far of Little League Baseball for the area. Silver Creek going to a bigger stage to represent the area.
You know, that's always good for local teams to have the success in the big stage. You can remember when Jeffersonville kind of got the ball rolling with Drew Ellis and those guys back when they were 12 years old. New Albany had that great run a few years back, and they ran across the was it the Jackie Robinson team, Matt, that they ran across?
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the great games. And, you know, you think even before that, the Valley Sports team over there in Kentucky a few years back. You know, I say a few years back. It's probably pushing 20 years ago, Matt.
It's been a while.
The success that they had, you know, on that stage. When you get in that thing, that's big time. It's a great experience for kids. You know, we've had some success at Charlestown with that. Our softball team won the state championship a few years ago. And I think success breeds success. You get some good feelings. You got to learn how to win. You're playing on the biggest stage. There's some pressure. And I think that only just makes your program and all your athletic programs better because, you know, winners win. And that brings that winning attitude, not just to your Little League team, but to your school and your community.
Yeah, and it's a community thing. You and I have talked a lot about it, the importance of high school sports or scholastic sports. And, you know, the travel stuff is great, the ability to get out and play with and against the best and get the exposure, especially once you become a high school prospect and show that you've got some legitimate ability to play at the college level and college coaches can get out and watch you. That all makes sense within reason, but it's still great to see some community-based things that are done the right way, that are run at a high level, and Little League obviously puts on a great show, not just the state tournament. It'll go to a whole nother level now for this Silver Creek team, and that's what I like the most. It's obviously quality baseball and good to watch, but it's really fun for the local communities, and really the area gets behind them now. It's a lot like a high school team or, you know, a community thing, a celebration more than anything.
No doubt about it. You know, watch out for the stoplights in Sellersburg. There's going to be kids out there holding buckets getting some money for that trip because it's not cheap, but it's something that makes memories. It's something that lasts a lifetime. You know, I played baseball growing up, didn't have a lot of success with our team advancing, although my sister's softball team were very, very good, and they advanced through the state tournament. And it was something that those are some of the best memories I had as a kid is watching her and her teammates perform on that high stage. You know, what I like about it best, Matt, is they get that flag, that banner. You know, they can place on their little league field, they pose in their pictures, and they're not getting rings. They're not getting wrestling belts. I mean, come on, I've got a McDonald's All-American ring, a state championship ring, a national championship ring, a national championship runner-up ring. There's probably some 8 or 9 year olds who've got that many rings this summer. You know, make a value of a ring count for something. I mean, my goodness. Again, what we're going, I'm gonna have to trade those in and get a wrestling belt or something. do not get me started on that. The bigger the entry fee, the bigger the prize.
You would look great with a wrestling belt, Chad. In fact, I think you should have one at Charlestown to hand out after the game. So that would be. That would be terrific. Start a new state.
We can just get. We just need to get bigger entry fees and more divisions. That's then right. Everybody wins. We can get everybody a ring. We can get everybody a wrestling belt.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert is my guest. I know that basketball is a little slower right now. This change in the recruiting calendar has sure been different. There's some stuff this week. I've talked a lot about it already. The NCAA academies that will take place. A little unknown how they're going to go over really in the first year, especially for some of the better talent across the country. But Chad, you're a basketball guy through and through. You love to watch it, all levels of it, and I know that you found some good basketball that you like to follow in the summer that's kind of caught your eye.
Matt, you know, have you watched the tournament? The tournament is great. You see a lot of older players out there. When I say older, you know, guys have graduated 3 or 4 years ago that are playing now. You kind of a where are they now type of deal, and these guys are going at it because there's $2 million on the line, and they've got it broken up into regions where some of the very best alumni from their teams are competing and trying to get out of their region to make it to Chicago and play for the $2 million. I watched the Ohio State team with Aaron Kraft and those guys on there yesterday. It was outstanding. You know, it was great basketball. They had the Ohio State play-by-play announcer announcing the game with Dan Dockage doing the color. So a lot of excitement, a lot, again, time to fill that void in to watch some good basketball. And, you know, those guys are running sets. It's just not like they're running a open gym or, you know, a game at the Y, a field house league. They're trying to run some sets and win for $2 million. So that's something that kind of gets that your juices flowing for the year. And it's kind of nostalgic to see where those guys are now. It reminds me, Matt, of something. You were a trendsetter on this. One thing, you know, when the tornado came through Henryville, you kind of got in front of that and raised some money and did a great job with all those people up there who did a magnificent job of recovering from that tornado. And you had a tournament up here at Charlestown. This is before I've got here, with kind of the same type of feel. You know, Matt, talk a little bit about that, of what you did involved with that.
Yeah, the Legacy Tournament, I think is what
the Legacy. Yes, yes, outstanding.
Basically, an alumni tournament. So when the tornado came through the area, which, boy, that was right at sectional week, if you remember that. It was just a devastating time, and as more and more pictures and video clips started to come out of things, I think everybody realized that, man, there's some real help needed here. So obviously there were people that raised money doing lots of different stuff, and some people raised way more than what we did, but we got some coaches together and did a couple different basketball-type things. We combined it all into one weekend. It was called A Night of Hoops and Hope, and it was presented by a local bank that was really helpful getting things started and helping with the money and making it all official and that sort of thing. But one of the big pieces was a Legacy tournament. It was like an alumni tournament. I think we had 16 or 18 teams. Anthony Winchester that played at Austin in Western Kentucky, he helped me with it. And it was a double elimination bracket. Friday night and Saturday. And it was at Charlestown. We had four courts going. The rule was I contacted like a captain from a great player that maybe was still in playing shape from each of the area schools. And the only rule was they had to play at that school their senior year and graduate from that school to be on the alumni team in this Legacy tournament. And gosh, I'm trying to think. I think Jeffersonville won it, I think. Maybe they beat Providence, sounds right, in the championship game.
I think you're right. It seems like B.J. Flynn was coaching that, and they had Kendall and B.J. Ballard and those guys. Yeah, and I think B.J. was the captain of it, though. Yeah. He's the one who got it together. And, you know, you talk about people who are in shape and able to play. B.J.'s probably able to play right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's always in great shape and looking for a pickup game anytime he gets a chance. You want to talk about a competitor and one of the truly underrated players ever to come out of Jeffersonville. You know, not to shift gears too much on that one, but looking through BJ's stuff, he was the 7-time Chevrolet MVP for a Louisville basketball game on TV. Is that not hard to believe?
Wow.
You know, to Phantom, you know, you forget about what a great career he had at Louisville. Then to win it seven times, you know, there's NBA guys who have not won it seven times. But that just shows you the type of players that Southern Indiana has produced. You know, in our minds, Southern Indiana is this little nook through here. You know, the state of Indiana's mind, Southern Indiana begins in Bloomington. But, you know, our little area right here in Southern Indiana, we have had some players, Matt, my goodness, and guys that have competed at the highest level and guys that have produced at the highest level. It's something, you know, that kids coming up have something to shoot for. They should be proud of and want to honor those guys, the legacy that they've laid, and try to even go bigger and beyond that.
No question. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. My guest, Chad, that alumni thing you're talking about, we raised almost just shy of $30,000. People coming to the game. We had a lot of sponsors, a lot of donations. That was a really fun deal. And, of course, it was made extra special because there was such a need in the community at the time. But good memories there to think back on. We'll have to do that again at Charlestown here coming up.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing on that it was great that that money was raised for those people who were going through a tough time at that point. But, you know, props to you for getting that together, Matt. You know, that's something that takes a lot of legwork, a lot of behind-the-scenes work to put together, and for the people to come out and support it and enjoy it. You know, you put a lot of work in that, and I'm sure the folks up in Henryville are very grateful for that.
Yeah, it was fun. And actually, it was Henryville, Borden, New Washington, and Pekin. The high school coaches were involved, and they got to decide in each community
a lot of good people
where their money went back to. It had to be, you know, there were some rules. It had to be a nonprofit organization, you know, so forth. But they actually got their split, and they had full control over where it went. It was a pretty neat deal, pretty special time, despite, you know, it was obviously a tragedy while we had to do it. And, again, we were just one of hundreds of things out there that were great fundraisers and ideas. But the basketball tournament, this $2 million tournament that kind of made us get off onto the legacy deal here, it is neat because there are alumni teams – where all the guys on that team have graduated from a college program. And then there are some teams where you just go out and they've tried to get the best players they can, European pros and others. But really neat about this is that every year, and I think they list them on the website of the TBT, there are guys that get seen. Maybe they had played professionally or they haven't yet played professionally, but there are guys that get seen through this thing, whether they win the $2 million or not. Some guys have had really nice pro contracts that have played in the basketball tournament, the TBT $2 million tournament. So pretty cool stuff. My one complaint on that is that they added I love how they split it up into regionals now. They got a regional in Lexington, Kentucky, but not one in Indiana. You would think that there would be one in Indianapolis or someone here in the area. And speaking of the TBT, we had the Bluegrass Boys a couple summers ago. We did a scrimmage for them here in New Albany. They played a lot of really good local players on their way to Chicago to play, which used to be the closest regional for local teams. They stopped in New Albany, played a group of local guys, some really good players there, and on their way to the tournament. So neat stuff, and I'm glad now that back in town I'll pay a little more attention to that as they work along. I guess now they're set for the final, I don't know if it's final 24 or what it is, but it's worked its way from the regional now to just one location.
Oh, it's good stuff, Matt. You know, it's one of those things. I'm hoping that some, like, Uncle Drew comes out there and just puts on a show. Have you seen Uncle Drew, Matt, that movie? It's outstanding.
No,
one of the best dance scenes I've ever seen in a movie. it rivals John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. But anyway, you know, you think about those tournaments. Think way back on those tournaments, wherever the Dirt Bowl in Louisville. Owensboro had the Dust Bowl. You know, there was always good tournaments like that, and I think that's what made things fun, you know, for people who love to play basketball. And you could even take it a step further with three-on-three tournaments. If you think of Gus Macker, three-on-threes, we played in Indianapolis, played in Muncie. You think of the street ball showdown, and they'd always have the championship game on TV. You know, that stuff was really not only nostalgic, but it was like, where are they now? And, man, these guys can still play. So a lot of good things with that, and that's something that I hope our kids get a chance to be part of. And, you know, if you saw the Penn State coach, football coach, talk about, you know, society where everything's on a cell phone, kids are looking down all the time, they don't have their heads up. I hope that they don't miss those opportunities, miss those chances to be part of those things because, man, Matt, they really were special.
Hey, Chad, one quick thing before we get out of here. I want to give a mention, a shout-out to somebody. Local kid getting a Division II assistant coaching job, Bailey McEwen, son of Bob McEwen. He's the nephew to Clarksville coach Brian McEwen. Just graduated and has had some other things in basketball that kind of built him up for this opportunity. But he's going to one of the Auburn affiliates down south in the Division II ranks. So really cool for him, and I'm sure that he'll be right back in the area trying to recruit some kids from Kentuckiana here very soon to his school.
Well, Bailey, you know, it is Bailey McEwen. He has a Division II pedigree like no other. You know, where he's been in Division II is, you know, similar to being in Duke, Kentucky. You know, if you threw Bellarmine in his resume, he'd be right there with all of them. But he's been at Southern Indiana for 4 years. He went to Drury, who is an outstanding Division II program, for 2 years. And then now he's made that jump to down there, you know, like you said, in the Auburn affiliate around Coach Pearl. And his head coach is an Evansville product, Michael Chaney. Michael Chaney played at USI year before I got there. Transferred to Kentucky Wesleyan, which is an odd story in itself. That's like transferring from Indiana to Purdue, and played at Kentucky Wesleyan against us, had a great career at Kentucky Wesleyan, and he has moved on in the ranks and now is the head coach at the Division II level and brought Bailey on as his number one assistant. So outstanding for those two guys, Evansville connection, Southern Indiana connection. I'm sure they'll hit our beltway very, very hard, Matt, and get the very best players we have.
Auburn Montgomery, that's the name of the team, the school there that Bailey going to. So always great to see.
Beautiful campus. Yeah. Beautiful campus.
Always great to see success for local guys, and congratulations to Bailey. Bob.
He's worked hard and he deserves that, so I'm proud of Bailey.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert with me always on Mondays. Chad, great to catch up. When are you back in school? I know you haven't had a big break this summer given your athletic director role. Is it Thursday of this week, or is it still a little later for you?
Every day. We're cranking every day. We've backed off the year-round calendar, unfortunately, and we don't start. Our kids aren't here until, I believe, August 8th, so we've still got a little time, but the seasons are knocking on our door, man. It's hard to believe that it's time.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, always with us Mondays on the program. Chad, thanks for the chat.
Matt, I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana. One shout-out, a snake was in my barn. My kids touched a snake at the zoo today, so they're going to catch the snake in the barn today. So it's a great day at the Gilbert household.
Chad Gilbert, you just never know with Chad when he's with us. Chad, thanks. That'll wrap things up for this Monday program. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm glad to be back with you here after missing a couple days for our coverage last week, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.